Day 23, 24. I was meant to record this yesterday, but these are normal responses to very abnormal times, people. I hope everyone's doing well out there.
G'day, g'day, everybody. So this is the second podcast in the Privacy series for this week. And if you look at the PowerPoint presentation, you'll see that there's two main topics. The first topic is the value of privacy. So do we consider privacy to be an intrinsic value? Is it instrumental value? What kind of value do we put on it in terms of being able to analyze it from an ethical perspective? So I'm going to talk only about that in this podcast. There's a section in there on data tracking and monitoring, and I just want to say to you guys, that's not so important for this week. So if you can't be bothered, if you're feeling a bit low, if you don't have the energy, or you can't, you're not in a mood to read too much, don't worry too much about that section. I think the most important sections for this week are on the kind of philosophical aspects of privacy. So the value of privacy, Helen Nissenbaum's contextual integrity concepts, and those sorts of things. They're the kind of things I want you to focus on. They're the kind of things that I do want you to read. They're what make the basis up for the questions in the quiz and in the revision questions. So all of that section on data tracking and data monitoring and data mining and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of important. There's a bit on cookies in there as well. So I'm not going to go over that stuff at all. If you want to read it, you can have a read of it yourself. There is another section later in the course where I'll talk a little bit about data mining and about predictive data modeling and those sorts of things, and how privacy relates to that as well. So I think we'll cover that there. So anyway, podcast number two in the privacy series, away we go. Okay, the first thing I want to share with you is a quote, and this quote is from Ms. Dilma Rousseff, who was the president of Brazil. And this is in Mikko Hirpinen's TED Talk, which the link is on our Moodle page, and I'd really urge you guys to watch it. It's actually really fascinating. I guarantee you'll actually really enjoy it. It's a really good TED Talk. And Ms. Dilma Rousseff was hacked by the NSA, and she addressed this issue at a United Nations talk, and this is a quote from her about privacy. And she said, "If there is no right to privacy, there can be no true freedom of expression and opinion, and therefore no effective democracy." So I think I wanted to start with that because I think it shows you just how important privacy is. So following the slides now, the PowerPoint slides, as I say, I'm really just going to talk about privacy and its value, whether it's an intrinsic value or an instrumental value. And I'm not sure if you guys have formed any opinions on this. But the first thing I want to just briefly cover is that Herman Tavani raises some interesting points at the beginning of his chapter, or at the section in his chapter where he talks about personal privacy. And he wonders whether privacy is different for different generations. So he seems to argue, he wants to argue that millennials seem to place less value on privacy than maybe baby boomers or Generation X generations. I'm actually not so sure that that's true. It just seems to be his opinion. He doesn't seem to provide a hell of a lot of support for it. You'd probably need to do some research to figure out whether that was really true. I do know that my dad, who is probably at the older end of the spectrum of baby boomers, definitely has privacy concerns about sharing stuff on the internet. And it was a long, long time before he ever typed in his credit card number into the internet to buy anything or to book a ticket or anything like that. So it took him a while to gain that trust. So he had that concern about privacy. So maybe there is something there, but that's just a point that Tavani makes in his text. So then Tavani comes up with this idea of what kind of value is privacy. So do we consider it an intrinsic value? Do we consider an instrumental value? So remember the difference between intrinsic value and instrumental value. Something that has intrinsic value has value in of itself for its own sake. So for example, a human life is intrinsically valuable. We can't place a dollar value on a human life. Not really, not morally. You couldn't really ethically kind of argue that. Some people might try to argue that, but it's a pretty tough one to argue. And an instrumental value is something that usually the easiest way to understand it is something that can be exchanged for something else. So money has instrumental value, your car has instrumental value, you can sell it, and so on. The next idea he comes up with is maybe we can consider privacy universally valued. That seems to be almost the case. Although it seems to be valued more in certain societies than other societies. And Tavani, interestingly, also argues that he thinks Western industrial societies place more importance on privacy than other types of societies. I'm not entirely convinced of that. I think if you look at former Soviet bloc nations like, you know, perhaps Yugoslavia, the Ukraine, places like that, Russia and so on, Soviet Union countries before that broke up, many of the individuals in those societies are very private because they don't want the government knowing what they're thinking. So there could be debate around that issue as well. And then the final one is maybe privacy is some kind of important social value. So maybe we don't think of it as such as whether it has an intrinsic value or an instrumental value. Maybe that's the wrong question to ask. Maybe we just say, look, privacy is a very important social value as well as an individual value. One of the ways that you might argue, if you wanted to argue that it was an instrumental value, is that it's pretty easy to come up with an argument to say that privacy could be instrumental, because if you think about supermarket loyalty schemes, so you get a Flybuys card and you get points on your Flybuys card every time you go to the supermarket, you're sharing your private information there. You're sharing demographic information about you, who you are, where you live, what suburb you live, and then every single thing that you buy. So every single time you go to the supermarket and swipe your Flybuys card, your supermarket loyalty card, the company collecting that information, Flybuys Limited New Zealand or whatever it's called, collects all that information about your purchasing habits. And they use that information to predict what people are going to buy and so on. So that's one way that you could say that privacy was an instrumental value. I think that might apply to Facebook as well and social media. So you share, you agree implicitly to share information about yourself in order to use the Facebook application, for example, right? His name's pronounced Fried, I guess that's how it's spelled, F-R-I-E-D, in the 1990s argued that privacy seemed to be more than just instrumentally valuable because it is necessary rather than merely contingent for achieving important human ends. So just an explanation of that word contingent again. By contingent, in philosophy and in ethics, we mean you can exchange that for the word accidental, right? So he thinks that privacy is necessary for achieving important human ends, not just accidental or by the by. So just to try and explain what that means, Fried argues that privacy is necessary for important human ends, such as trust and friendship, right? So another interesting point that Mikko Hoopinen gives in his TED talk is he says, if you are a person who has nothing to hide, please tell me that very, very quickly, because then that means I won't share any important information with you. That's quite an interesting little point in his TED talk. So go and watch that TED talk. I'm sure you guys will enjoy it. So yeah, privacy is very important for friendship and trust. So our very close friends, we know that we can that they can trust us and we can trust them. So privacy seems to be very important in that respect. And then Jim Moore again views privacy as an expression of a core value essential for human flourishing. So here's Jim Moore getting really at the heart of, you know, ethical concepts here. He's saying that privacy seems to be a core value which is essential for human flourishing. In terms of privacy as a universal value, so remember, something that is a universal value is a value that's shared by everyone, right? It's a universal across the world. Privacy seems to have importance and different levels of importance in different cultures. People in the city tend to have slightly different opinions on privacy than people in rural societies, on farms and so on. So, you know, you go to, if anyone has spent any time on a farm, you know, in a farming communities, people are very trusting, people are very open with, and everyone knows everything about everyone. Whereas in cities, people tend to be a little bit more isolated in terms of their response to privacy. And then I think we're really up to the final point to make here, and then I'll close it off. So it's a little bit of a shorter podcast today. If we think about privacy as an important social value, a researcher called Priscilla Regan noted that we tend to underestimate the importance of privacy as a social value as well as an individual value. So Regan believes that if we frame the privacy debate in terms of privacy as a social value that is essential for democracy, so it's similar to what the president of Brazil is saying, that seems to be where we can situate the concept of privacy. So privacy is essential for democracy because we have a right to have our opinions and our values and our beliefs kept private. And also, according to Dilma Rousseff, again, there can be no true freedom of expression and opinion without the right to privacy. So I think we'll leave it there. It's a bit of a shorter podcast this time, guys, but you've got the assignment to finish, which I know. Look, for next week, we won't start next week until about Tuesday, I think Tuesday, Wednesday maybe even, and that'll give you guys time to, I won't mark the attendance until say Tuesday, so that'll give people time to have a crack at the quiz, have a look at the revision questions, listen to the podcasts, do some reading, and so on. Good luck with the assignments, guys, and we'll catch you on the other side.
These waves, radio waves, television channels, X-rays, and so on.